Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 62. Your host today, Marty Jones, capable producers of Owen Woods and Chris Mondragon. And our guests today include Esteban Salazar from San Luis Valley Go and its Embajadores program. And we have some new Embajadores, Kevin Hernandez and Jesse Casillas, joining in with us also. As always, we want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And we want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to this podcast as well. So, welcome. Let's start with Esteban Salazar and just tell us a little bit about yourself and about why you are here.
Thank you, Marty. Again, my name is Esteban Salazar. I am the Health and Wellness Coordinator with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. And this program, our Outdoor Ambassadors or Embajador program, has been made possible by the generous donation of the Carl Howe Foundation. With that, we've assembled a great team of enthusiastic outdoor enthusiasts who I've brought with me today. And we have been really focusing on a robust program schedule to get people outside here in the San Luis Valley. And we're excited to get local folks using parks and trails resources if they're not already using them. If they are, we want to get them out there using them more. So we've really diversified our offerings in the way of programming this year. One of the key programs that we're doing on a regularly occurring schedule is our walk program, and that's Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet up on the east side of the Alamosa Senior Center adjacent to Cole Park. And you're welcome to join us. We mix it up a little bit. Sometimes we walk over the pedestrian bridge and go and take a walking tour around the farm park. But it's a good opportunity to get in some laps and socialize with your friends and neighbors. And again, that's Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. at Cole Park.
And what kind of turnout have you been getting for those walks?
Our numbers are down. We certainly like to grow participation, and we're hopeful that this outreach effort with the podcast here in the Outdoor Citizen will ideally increase interest and participation.
And how else can people find out about these activities?
You can find this information from our SLV Go website. If you click on the events tab, it'll take you to our calendar. And we have a robust social media presence on Facebook. And most of this information can be also found on Instagram. In addition to our Tuesday morning walk, we're also doing a Thursday noon walk at Adams State University campus. We're meeting at the east entrance of Richardson Hall at noon. That's our noon fun walk. So just wanted to take a moment to highlight those regular occurring things. And hopefully we were having some ongoing conversation with university administrators, and we're hoping that we can bring the program indoors. As you well know, Marty, once fall rolls around, the days get shorter, it becomes extremely cold. And once we get a little ice on the sidewalks, it's not terribly fun or safe to be outside walking around. So this is our solution to keep people active in the winter. And along with our walk program, I do want to highlight my own personal program, which I've titled Hiking in History. And I'm leveraging my background as a cultural anthropologist and a graduate student in cultural resource management to really expose some of our more intriguing historic and cultural sites around the San Luis Valley. Just this Thursday at 5:30, we're going to be meeting up where the Splashland Road intersects with the North River Road, just north of the Blanca Vista Trail System, is a historic Barlow and Sanderson stage station, which was the original community prior to the Denver Rio Grande Railroad coming down in 1878. And once the railroad got established in Alamosa, Wayside was abandoned. So we're going to go get familiar with the site, look at the placard, have some conversation around that history, and then we're going to be carrying on to the inner and outer Oxbow Trail System to do another hike as a group out there. And again, that's this Thursday at 5:30.
So that's July 24th.
That's correct, July 24th. And on the following day, July 25th, I'm doing a really special guided interpretive hike at the historic Lafayette Head Indian Agency in Conejos, and that's from 3 to 5 p.m. This is a very interesting history. Lafayette Head was our first lieutenant governor. He was a merchant. He was a soldier, but he was also a slave owner in the post-Emancipation Proclamation West. After Lincoln had freed the slaves, this gentleman was continuing the practice of keeping people in bondage to work his farm and such. So again, that's happening this Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. And if you have any interest in that, you can reach out to me directly, 719-580-9532. Also, we have a rotating schedule of Saturday hikes. On the 7th of August, we're meeting at 5:30 at the Lobatos Bridge. There's still some ongoing construction there. That's down in Conejos County. The bridge actually spans Conejos and Costilla County, and it's a historic expansion bridge. But the area itself, the general area, is just a rich resource of very intriguing histories, and I'm excited to take folks out there and get them familiar with the history and also the geology and the biology of the Rio Grande River corridor.
And what time is that again?
That is scheduled for 5:30 on August 7th.
That's 5:30 p.m.
P.m. We're trying to trying to get people out in the afternoons and enjoy this beautiful weather and these long days that we've been having before we're in fall and, you know, our days are much shorter and things are much colder. So in addition to that, you know, on the 14th of August, Kevin and I are going to be doing a hike in San Luis at the Shrine, and he can fill you more in on that. That's also a 5:30 start time. And then to do a little more hiking in the Costilla region, we're doing a guided hike at Rito Seco Trail System, 28th, and that's also a 5:30 start time, and that'll probably be a much shorter hike.
And the Rito Seco Trail System is also down in San Luis, right?
It is actually north of San Luis. It is in Costilla County. It's about 3 miles north. And, you can access it from Jasper Road. You can Google it. And if you just type in Rito Seco into your map search engine, it'll give you a pin. It's approximately 7 miles east of the connecting Highway 59 out there.
And all these hikes are listed on the SLV Go website?
They are listed on our events calendar on the SLV Go website, and they're also can be found in our events section of our Facebook page.
Very good. Well, thanks, Esteban. Let's move to Kevin Hernandez. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of activities you're doing with SLV Go.
Yeah, thank you, Marty, for having us and for inviting us to have a conversation about what we're doing. And a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, and moved out to the Valley about 3 years ago. I always dreamt of living in a place like this, so now that I get a chance to be surrounded by some of the most beautiful landscapes, it's just inspiring, and I love also the community that exists here and the amazing people that I've gotten to meet, and I would love to see more folks get together in outdoor settings to kind of, you know, unplug from the day-to-day routines and immerse ourselves into the environment and reconnect in a more organic way, you know, and be able to, you know, take off the hats that we wear, so to speak, and just put on, you know, a different type of hat and connect with community and with nature. So that desire to get outside and to experience the outdoors with others is how we aligned with SLV Go. And I want to give a special shout out to Maddie Alborn for connecting me to SLV Go and introducing me to Esteban and the team. And really grateful for her and all the work that she's doing in multiple different capacities. But yeah, that's kind of how I came to find SLV Go. And they've also been helping me with connecting with, you know, not only learning about the different trail systems that exist here in the Valley, but also helping me get trained up in first aid and developing some skills that I've always wanted to get better at. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
So what kinds of things do you have going on right now or in the near future?
Well, as Esteban mentioned, we're going to be doing guided hikes every Thursday evening from 5:30 to 7:30 approximately. And that's going to be starting on August 7th. And we'll be going based on interest. I also want to get feedback on each experience to, you know, get an idea of how can we do things better and where would you like to go next. But we'll be exploring different parts of the valley, and definitely want to be including locations all over the San Luis Valley and all the different counties, so we can explore together. And these are going to be kind of entry level hikes or beginner friendly. So this is going to be for people of, you know, all different ages, and a way to connect. Unless otherwise stated, we'll want to just kind of make this a very beginner friendly experience, but more focused on, you know, building community with others and being able to enjoy a walk and a talk with others. In addition to that, we're also, doing open mics. I'm also a creative as well. I'm an audio and visual artist. I'm a singer and photographer primarily. And we do open mics every second Sunday of the month at the Church Project.
And that's in Monta Vista?
Yeah, the Church Project in Monta Vista. So, every second Sunday we do a variety of different experiences there at the open mic, whether it's poets, singers. I'm hoping to see more stand-up comedians come through to that, by the way. If anyone is, you know, wants to give it a shot, wants to do a 15-minute set and have some jokes. But in addition to that, I also work with SLV Community Solutions. I'm doing outreach and marketing with that organization, and we're showing up in different capacities there and collaborating with other organizations. So I wear a lot of different hats.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about these Thursday evening hikes. Where's the first one? Where and when?
The first one is going to be this August 7th. We're going to be exploring the Lookout Trail system. And we're going to be starting off at the Spruce Street Trailhead in Del Norte. And we'll have more information on that, like where to meet, where our rally point will be on the website. So that's where we'll get started. And the week following, we'll be going to be hiking at the Stations of the Cross Shrine in San Luis. And that'll be August 14th from 5:30 to 7:30. Then we'll be moving into Conejos County August 21st, as well as the 28th. We'll be doing a Rito Seco. So we'll, as these evolve and continue to be planned out, we'll be sharing that information on Facebook events, on our Facebook page, and on the website.
And transportation is the responsibility of everybody who wants to come on one of the hikes, right? There's not a van leaving from Alamosa or anything of that sort.
Not at the moment, but if somebody does have any transportation, just needs transportation to and from, they can always contact us, and we can do what we can to make sure that people can get out there. If anyone's interested, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'd be happy to see if we could carpool.
And how do they reach out to you?
You can reach out to us on Facebook, or you can also contact us via email. My email is kevinhernandez@slvgo.com. You can also reach Esteban@slvgo.com. Or you can also, is there a general contact email that we have?
I think it's slvgreatoutdoors.com is our staff email. You can always reach out to me directly to my email address and or my phone number. And then again, that's 719-580-9532.
And you probably have a contact us page on the website also.
That's correct. And then that'll direct you to our general staff email.
Right. Okay. Very good. Sounds pretty exciting. And the last member of our interview team here is Jesse Casillas. Jesse, welcome, and thanks for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of work you're going to be doing as an embajador.
Well, thank you, Marty, for having us here today. And as Esteban had mentioned, that I'm going to be doing a lot of bird guiding, taking people to see different variety of species and different habitats around the valley.
And do you have any bird walks already scheduled on the books?
Not quite, Marty. What we're right now, we're in the creative planning stages. We're really looking at the target month of September for the fall migration. We're hopeful that after this Friday, after a convening with the Friends of the Refuge, that we're going to have some positive feedback and better direction in how to assemble our schedule. So be on the lookout on our social media platform and website for that full schedule, which will be available in the next 2 weeks.
Very good. There are plenty of excellent places to go birding throughout the entire valley. And even just in Alamosa, there's the Malm Trail, the Oxbow Trails, either inner or outer, the Riparian Park. Lots of places to see a variety of birds. How did you first get interested in birding, Jesse?
I first got interested, this is a pretty interesting story, is that I saw the movie The Big Year with Jack Black, Steve Martin, and Owen Wilson. And it's about these three guys that are doing a North America big year and how they race all over the United States to see as many different species in a calendar year as they possibly can. And I saw that and I'm like, I got to go do that. That looks fun. Went out on my first trip and been hooked ever since.
Oh, cool. What's the most unusual bird that you have seen?
I have two. Actually, we got in the movie The Big Year, at the end scene, he was looking for this pink-footed goose, and it happened to be in Colorado. Approximately 8 years ago, we did have a pink-footed goose that showed up to Colorado.
Huh.
And the other interesting bird was a European golden plover, which was the first reported species in the United States and New Mexico, and I went to go see that too. So those are about the two unusual birds that I've seen.
I can honestly say I've never seen either one of those birds. But you know, birding is such a rewarding experience. You don't have to see only unusual birds, because there's plenty of beautiful birds that are native to this area, whether they live here year-round or are only migratory species. Lots of good things. Well, great. Thank you, guys. And I'm going to come back to Estevan for a minute and ask him to just give us a reminder of what the Embajador program is and its purpose.
Thank you for that, Marty. So our program is really designed to identify leaders in the valley, in a recreation space that has not always brought forth people of color into those spaces in terms of leadership. So, and this is true for the outdoor gear manufacturing industry, and we're hoping to change that narrative in this effort and within this program. And our model for doing that is to identify enthusiastic outdoors people to develop programming opportunities publicly and engage further community residents and visitors to also join us in our shared love for nature and the great outdoors.
Sounds good. What does it take to, this is open to any of you now, what does it take to get people interested in being outdoors?
That's a great question, Marty. And I think, you know, there's a lot of curiosity and maybe a lot of fear and insecurity for our novice outdoors people. The information of knowing where to go to safely recreate and what activities you might be able to do. So there's a big educational component. And these programs are designed to be very social, very casual. And with the regular current schedule, we hope to instill some confidence with the individual who participates so that they feel more secure in returning, not only with our groups, but also when the mood strikes them. You know, if they decide they have some free time and they like to now, you know, maybe they're more comfortable with a trail system that they've been recently exposed to. Ultimately, we would like them to join us and then feel more confident about doing it independently as, you know, as a outlet in recreation, and also as a behavioral change for our physical and mental health benefit. There's lots of great things that come from being outdoors, and the program's designed to give people that confidence and skills to do it independently.
Great. You know, I grew up in small towns in Kansas back in the 50s and 60s, and because of the rural nature of the towns, we were frequently outside doing things. We didn't have organized trail systems necessarily, but it was a different time, and everybody pretty much went outside. We didn't have a whole lot to keep us inside except homework, you know, and of course you had to do that. But it seems like there are so many different opportunities these days to prevent people from going outside. They can get some fulfillment by staying inside. We've got to find a way to overcome potential barriers and do what you guys are doing. Try to encourage, especially young people, to get outside and get away from their screens for a while.
Yes. Yeah, you know, technology is a blessing and a curse. And I think, you know, during COVID, we saw many of us lean more on it, you know, as was needed, especially in public education. You know, the distance learning was a requirement. But with that came, you know, many very helpful things like Zoom, and it actually exacerbated people's technology addiction. And it's infinitely more profound in the young developing mind, right? So like you, we didn't have a lot of distraction indoors, and we were always outside because that's where we had fun and enjoyed the good weather. And I really think that's one of our common goals, is to expose people to the outdoors and encourage them to find fulfillment, find, you know, the right brain chemistry that's activated that they're getting by, you know, doom scrolling or, you know, looking, checking for likes or whatever motivates a person to be consumed by social media, to really reconnect with the earth is really the direction we're hoping to take the program.
And Kevin, growing up in Denver, that's not really a rural environment. How did you get interested in the out of doors?
I think the first thing that ever really got me interested in the outdoors was movies like the Lord of the Rings series. You know, seeing the massive landscapes that they filmed in New Zealand to make that movie, that was what really set the goal of one day living in a place like that. And, you know, being in an urban, like in a city like Denver, you know, not being exposed to that as much. I didn't come out to the San Luis Valley until I was an adult, so I had not as much context of knowing that there's, you know, those places exist literally in my home state. So I think that was the initial curiosity. But then I also joined the military after high school, and ruck marches was kind of like the first time that I really got the chance to really immerse myself in going outside and exploring the outdoors through that, through training exercises and things of that nature. But later in life, the outdoors served as a very instrumental part of my creative process, because I love just being able to sing outside, play guitar outside, and just unplug, write poetry, maybe draw. So it's been a huge creative spark for me, and I hope that that can also be a creative spark for countless others to, you know, get away from the phone and stop consuming content, but utilizing the outdoors as a way to provoke curiosity and explore other, whatever it is that you're curious about, whether that's, you know, archery, birding, or photography, writing, any creative endeavors, I think just becomes amplified, and you get so much inspiration from what you see in the environment when you get out of a city.
It's kind of like that old adage of everything tastes better when you're eating it out of doors.
True.
You know, more creative when you have the outside world in your grasp rather than only the indoor world. Yeah. And Jesse, did you grow up in a rural area or in an urban area?
I was born and raised, like Kevin, in Denver, and lived there most of my adult life. In fact, I just moved out to the Valley February 17th.
Oh, very recent, yeah.
So very recent. So I've been out exploring many different birding places out here, and they've been they've been short of spectacular. I mean, never not short of spectacular. They've just been just beautiful. And that's a nice thing about birding is that it's not just birds you get to see. You get to see the beautiful landscape, the beautiful animals, flowers. And for those that like insects, you could see the different insects too. So it's just beautiful. God's country is wonderful.
It kind of reminds me of the statement that we hear frequently from fishers, fisher folk, that, you know, it's great to catch a fish, but at least if you're outside, you're seeing the beautiful out of doors, whether you're successful or not.
Totally.
Yeah, excellent. True. Well, I'm going to let you guys each go around with any final thoughts that you might have, and please repeat contact information.
Very good. And thank you for that, Marty. Yeah, I just want to invite people to, if you're not already following our social media platform on Facebook or Instagram, give us a search, like, a follow. Our event schedules are available there on our social media platforms. Also, this information can be found from our event link on the homepage of our website, which is slvgo.com. If any listeners have any specific interests about details in terms of scheduling, start times, long schedules of our birding events that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, or even things like how do they prepare for a hike, you know, things like what to bring along. You can reach me directly at my email address. That's estevan@slvgo.com, or my phone number is 719-580-9532.
Any final thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, I want to thank you, Marty, for having us, and the Alamosa Citizen for inviting us to speak a little bit more about this. And if this episode sparked your curiosity, we invite you to reach out and connect with us and join us in an experience. SLV Go is also making, you know, serious efforts to make sure that you have everything that you need in order to have fun out and in nature. So you can contact me at kevinhernandez@slvgo.com, and also find us on Facebook.
And Jesse?
I have a Facebook page that is called Birds of San Luis Valley, is how you can contact me, get a hold of me, and to view all the birds that me and the members are seeing across the valley, and encourage people to get out and look. You can't find a bird if you're sitting on the couch. You need to get out, and the more you get out, the more different birds you see, the more your interest gets sparked. And then so when somebody posts a picture of the bird on the page, and they're like, oh, where do I see that? Oh, they saw it over here. Okay, well, I need to go there. And that's just trying to spark interest of people to be interested to go to different places in the valley to see the different types of birds and the different habitation that is out there to be able to see these birds.
Excellent. Wise words from each of you. And I want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. So my guests have been Esteban Salazar, Kevin Hernandez, and Jesse Casillas, all from the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, Marty.
And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for funding to launch a community project, program, or event in Monta Vista? The Lore Foundation is here to help. Lore supports projects that are designed and led by locals like you. The best part? There are no complicated applications, time-consuming reports, or grant cycle deadlines. All it takes to start a funding request is a simple conversation. So reach out to Monta Vista Community Officer Yvette Atencio at lorefoundation.org today and take the first step towards turning your idea into a reality. The heart of the Cumbersan Toltec Scenic Railroad is in the fine people of Chama, New Mexico, Antonito, Colorado, and the surrounding communities who have supported our railroads for generations. To show our appreciation, we offer a 50% discount to locals who live within an 80-mile drive distance of either Chama or Antonito on All Aboard Chama Excursions, All Aboard Antonito Excursions, Chama Limited, Antonito Unlimited, and Cumbres Express. This discount is valid on coach class seating only and cannot be applied online. This offer is valid for excursions between August 19th and August 31st. Please call our reservations line at 1-888-286-2737 to book.
Okay, welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. Here's a few outdoor conditions for you. The San Luis Valley has seen a bit over a half an inch of rain so far in July. Temperatures have fortunately remained remarkably normal in the low to mid 80s. We can expect light afternoon rains again this week, but then the National Weather Service is forecasting a hot spell going into August. Stage 1 fire restrictions are in effect on the entire San Juan National Forest, including wilderness areas, starting July 15, 2025. These restrictions are in place due to hot, dry weather and critical fire conditions impacting both lower and higher elevations. Under Stage 1, campfires are only permitted in designated Forest Service campgrounds with a metal or concrete fire ring. Smoking, welding, and operating a chainsaw are also restricted. The South Rim Fire burning in the Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Forest is 31% contained at this time after burning more than 4,200 acres. The recent horrific flash flooding events in Ruidoso, New Mexico, and Central Texas earlier in July had us reaching out to Russ Schumacher of the Colorado Climate Center at CSU Fort Collins with questions about our own river system in the San Luis Valley. Basically, we wanted to know if the type of deadly flash flooding that overwhelmed the Rio Ruidoso in New Mexico, which is a 30-mile-long river, or the Guadalupe River in Central Texas, could also happen on the Rio Grande. Russ provided an excellent answer with lots of historical perspective, including mentioning the Sawatch Creek flash flood of July 1999. Estimates suggest Sawatch Creek rose 5 to 6 inches in 2 hours above 8,000 feet in elevation. His bottom line was this: I would say the conclusion is that the San Luis Valley is one of the safest parts of the state when it comes to flash flooding, because it's typically so dry and difficult to get the amount of moisture that's required to produce really heavy rainfall. But it's not impossible, as the 1999 Sawatch Creek event demonstrates. I encourage every community to look back at the history of flooding in their area and think about whether they're prepared for a similar event to happen again in the future, because history tells us it can happen. And now, some fishing reports. First, from Arc Anglers on the middle basin of the Arkansas River from Buena Vista to Salida. Fishing has ramped up each day with the gradually receding flows, and the dry and dry dropper fishing has been very effective. Expect trout to vacate faster areas of current and move to velocity shelters along the banks and amid submerged midstream structure. The river north of Buena Vista offers the lowest flows and some of the easier wading, particularly near Leadville. Hayden Meadows is currently seeing strong green drake hatches with nymphs and adults in the 8 and the 10 to 12 range on average. Brachycentris caddis in the 14 to 18 range are also plentiful up here. I should just mention, and if you're not really familiar, when we're talking about those numbers, 10 to 12, 14 to 18, that's the size of the fly, not the size of the fish, okay? You can also expect to see golden stoneflies, yellow sallies, pale morning duns, midges, and various terrestrials as we move toward August. And from Rio Grande Anglers on the Rio Grande, we have entered very low water. Currently, the Rio Grande at 30 Mile is at 87 CFS. At Wagon Wheel Gap, it is 270 CFS. And in Del Norte, the river is flowing at 340 CFS. This is considered very low flows for our river. With the low water, temperatures are rising. This means fish early. The early bird gets the worm this time of the year. We're in the monsoon season and seeing small rain showers starting around 11 a.m. on many days. They are nothing aggressive, but you might want to bring your rain gear. Fishing riffles and sections of the river that are most oxygenated is where the fish are holding. It's systematic fishing right now. Look at a riffle and fish every inch of it. Start close, then work your way out. Fish are spooky right now with a low water, so watch your shadow. Don't beat up the water on your first presentation. If need be, take a knee and watch your silhouette. It's nymph season primarily. Don't be afraid to break out those fluorocarbon tippets. And now some news. CDOT reports that since 2020, there have been 79 bicyclist fatalities in Colorado, with nearly half, 48.1%, occurring during the summer. To help prevent bike crashes, CDOT kicked off its bicycle safety campaign on July 19th with a series of signs in memory of the lives lost since 2020, bringing attention to the reality of the issue and the shared responsibility among both riders and drivers to keep Colorado's roads safe for everyone. Drivers that fail to yield the right-of-way to bicyclists are one of the top causes of bicycle crashes nationally. In August, the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve is offering two free programs to the public. And this is during the first weekend of August. On Friday, August 1st, Buffalo Soldier reenactor Terrence Beasley will present a living history program at the Visitor Center from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. And on Saturday, August 2nd, the park's education team will host the ever-popular Junior Ranger Day with kid-friendly activities at the Main Dunes parking area between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. And now a look at some upcoming outdoor events. The Stations of the Cross 10K race in San Luis is Sunday, July 27th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. The race is part of the weekend-long Fiesta de Santiago y Santa Ana. The route goes through the town of San Luis along beautiful country roads, through the historic Vega, past the oldest public ditch, and finishes with a climb up to the Stations of the Cross. It costs $35 to register, and you can register online at raceentry.com and search Stations of the Cross 10K. Another event coming up on Thursday, July 24th, out at the Colorado Farm Brewery, the San Luis Valley chapter of Trout Unlimited is having their bi-weekly Trout on Tap. The particular event this Thursday is focusing on fly tying. So if you want to learn more about tying flies, then come out to the Farm Brewery around 5 o'clock, enjoy some wonderful beverages, and get together with folks who are interested in fishing. Who knows, you might even be able to get some ideas on recommendations for where to go. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Chris Mondragon and Owen Woods and published by AlamosaCitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And if you are getting the Alamosa Citizen briefings on Monday mornings and Thursday mornings, you know that we also have an opportunity for you to contribute an outdoor report by sharing an adventure that you took out of doors. We'd encourage you to send any video clips or audio clips that you have to that same email address, info at alamosacitizen.com. Well, until next time, this is Marty Jones encouraging you to get outside, enjoy this great weather that we're having, and have some fun outside. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.